Boy, is your internet running slow? Man, mine is for the last hour or so. I wonder what's going on. If it is, fast blast me. If it's not, don't worry about it. I tell you what, I'm in the cave here in St. Louis. I swear to the stars up above that I turned around and I saw a creature, a demon, something just fly right by me. No, it was not a shadow person. This was like looming over my back. That's not a very good feeling at all. When we come back, I want your demon stories, whether you are driving a truck, in a car, at home. What happened to you? That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I think demons are attacking the internet, I tell you. Okay, we've got 2 hours to go now of your demonic stories. So let's start with our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there. Well, that person has departed. Most demons are everywhere. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, this is Dale.
Hi, Dale. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fremont, Ohio.
Yes, sir. What's your story?
Is your guest still with you?
No, it's just us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just I wanted to put this little story out here. It seems like this happened quite a few years ago, and for like 10 years straight, every night I would go to sleep, I would have these dreams of like demonic dogs, giant demon dogs that I had to wrestle with all night long.
Tell me more.
And it's just something that was really bothering me. I don't know what I couldn't really put my finger on it, what I was going through in my life at the time, but it's like for 10 years straight, it seems I just couldn't shake these things. And they would be in. I don't know if demons can project themselves into your dreams or not like that, but these things were like, 10 feet tall, like giant black dogs with glowing red eyes, like giant German shepherds. And it's in my dreams, I would have to like overcome these things every night. I would have to like physically wrestle with these things, and I would wake up just totally exhausted. And your guest there, Chris Doyle, kind of reminded me when he was talking about these things like sapping your energy, and it just seemed to me like something was sapping my energy every night like that, because I'd wake up in the morning, I'd just be totally exhausted, and for those whole 10 years, my life just like went to hell.
Did you have bruises on your body?
Well, actually, I have woken up quite a few times with bruises and strange like cut marks and stuff like that. I really don't know what that if there's any relationship to that, but I have had that happen.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad you came out of it in one piece.
Well, me too.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello, welcome to the program.
Yes, I think I've been bothered by demons since I was a young child, and I seem to have like three of them, but the one that bothers me the most is an energy vampire, and I can feel it when he's sucking the energy out of me, and I've just gotten sicker and sicker, and it, it's a shame your guest is gone, because I was concerned when he said that you couldn't get rid of them, because I've been trying so hard in any way I could think of, and always asking people what I could do, and I can't seem to get rid of the darn things.
Well, what do they do to you?
Well, like I said, the one that bothers me the most sucks the energy out of me, and so I'm always tired, always fatigued, and I just get sicker. My health just gets worse and worse.
Some people do that to you too.
No, I can feel the spirit. I've always been sensitive to spirits ever since I was a child. I can feel it when it touches me, when it attaches itself, when it's sucking the energy out of me.
What are you doing though to let that spirit in?
I can't think of anything. Some people say it's an unconscious thing that you can't really understand it, and I don't know. That's possible, But other than that, I don't know. I kind of relate to what he said when, you're sensitive, you're an emotional person kind of thing. Maybe that's sort of what it is about.
See, if you let any kind of negativity into your system, I think you can be possessed. You can be taken over, and I think that's what's happening to you. East of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello. Boy, these are, this is interesting. The internet's going down. The phones are having problems. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Chris from Mobile.
Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Well, I had an experience at work where I had these ladies had just gotten, a couple of them had gotten transferred in, and they said they were demon worshipers, and they knew the dark side. And I had sort of disputed it with them and, you know, chuckled a little bit and said, yeah, well, I believe in it, but I don't really believe it can affect me. Well, a friend of mine at the job said that the ladies got upset about it and put a curse on me. Well, two nights later, I was in my apartment, which has a next the next door neighbor's apartment. It sits adjacent to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the kitchens basically line up. Well, the night before, there was a religious program on, and I went and I said, well, I don't really want to watch this, but something told me to watch it. So I had one cup of coffee left, you know, a little bit of coffee, and I made it for some reason at 12 at night. Well, this pertains to the next morning because I got up the next morning, I had my dishes, and I was in school at the time, and I was going to do my dishes in my kitchen. So I'm sitting there doing them, and I always have to have coffee in the morning, really, to get me going. Well, I looked in there, and I said, man, I made my last pot of coffee last night. You know, I really don't want to be up right now. I'm just going to go lay back down for a minute. Well, right when I turned the corner from a narrow kitchen like an apartment, I heard a blam and sheetrock falling all on the floor. And I turned back around, and there was a hole, and I could see all the way through to my neighbor's kitchen. Well, I went up there, and I could tell, and then I noticed I saw the hole went all the way out through the where my guest room was.
Jeez.
And all the way out the side. Well, I went to my front door, and I could see him at the door, my next-door neighbor, with his you know, through the peephole, and opened up the door, and I was like, what's going on? He goes, man, I don't know. I just woke up, and I'm sorry. I just shot through your kitchen. I said, yeah, you almost blew my head off. It was perfect lined up. It was like you were aiming at me. He goes, I don't know what happened. He goes, he had just gotten a job as a security guard.
Oh my,
and he had just gotten his license for the gun. Well, I
sounds
was like,
sounds like he needed a little training.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I called the police. Obviously, I called the police, you know, there just to make sure everything was okay. And they were like, this is too suspicious. It was like the bullet was lined to my head. Well, 2 days later, I'm sitting on my front porch. It's, you know, I worked at a restaurant at the time, and I was getting off work late at night, and I was out on my balcony. Well, it was a stormy weather night. Around here in Mobile, they'll kick up like that. Well, the weather blew in, and I had just walked in, and a small tornado had hit, blowing glass through the breezeway in the apartment complex, blowing the glass all the way up against into the paneling wall on my deck that I
just
had just
like,
walked
just
off
like someone, of. Just like daggers thrown
just
into
like
it.
Daggers. And my friends and all of us started thinking, like, there's something to this. Well, this has been like almost like 10 years ago, and I've just now moved back to Mobile, and I have actually just overcome the fact that I do believe in. There is demonic powers, and they can get around you, and you have to be careful that you don't dispute it and that you don't look at it as like just a joke, and you don't laugh at it, because especially now in the time we're in, I believe that really the demonic forces are working powerful things on the earth and within us, and we have to be very careful that we don't look at it as a joke and take it serious.
Well, you know what? You're right. Not only that, I have noticed in the past several months strange behavior by people. Haven't you?
Yes. If you look at the TV and the way things are going and the way people are thinking, it's almost like people on TV and characters, they're almost like zombies in a way. They're not, I won't say dead zombies, but they look like their brains have been overcome with some power, which I call demonic. And even the people you would think conservative or liberal or whatever, they all seem to be working within this same realm of strangeness. And I had just noticed yesterday, it's strange that I'm back here at school, and I had just seems like a weight off my shoulders had came when I'm finishing up grad school here, and it just seems like a a weight came off of me from seeing the fact that I had gotten in a trance over the past, it seems like 10 years,
yeah,
of a demonic power that I took as a joke at the time, and it brought my life down into a swirl. And you might, I mean, you know, it's like a black hole.
How did you shake it?
The truth be known, I believe it's just by, I don't, you know, some people will say God's grace or the power of something. It's just like maybe I just came out of the cycle of what it was that was bringing me down, or maybe somehow I lifted that from me. But I had gone to church on and off and things like that, and I don't believe it was something I just came and said, okay, it's over, or, you know, God, take it away from me. I think it was something that it was just a time of my life that I was, that a lot of us go through, where we're challenged and put in a situation where it's going to be that the devil has power and dominion over what goes on in our life.
Well, let me tell you something about power. And this may be one of the most incredible stories I've ever seen. If this doesn't make a national news story sometime tomorrow, I don't know what will. Only because of one fast blast that I have. I have here in the cave an atomic clock. Now, those of you who don't know what that is, it is a radio-controlled clock that is synchronized with a signal that is piped in basically from, you know, the government has a signal that they send in. This clock is down to the minute second. A few moments ago, this atomic clock, which has been in the cave since I've been in the cave, has never given me a problem. The time shifted from 2:16 Central Time in the morning to 9:22 p.m. Central Time on the atomic clock. And the date shifted from 3:30 to 2:08. Now, I've never seen this happen. Now, I would ordinarily say, well, I'm going to fix this thing during the break if I can. If not, I'll work on it in the morning. Except I now have two fast blasts. Here's one from D in Fort Mojave, Arizona. It says, listen, George, when you mentioned computer problems, I had them too. I also have an atomic clock, which is now stuck in a certain time. No indication of low batteries. Based on just that one fast blast and what happened to me, something has happened here, I think, on a major scale. If any of you out there have atomic clocks and something has happened to it, let me know, because this is one of the most bizarre stories I've ever seen. Now, I also have an atomic clock on the wall, and that is correct. That is not a digital. It is not a digital clock. It is a typical atomic clock, but it is non-digital. But the digital one has gone haywire, and I only bring that up is because D in Arizona seems to have the same problem. Now, that's weird. Let's go to the first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. It's great to talk to you. I'm Kathy. I'm in Ohio.
Hi, Kathy. What's going on?
A couple weeks ago, I worked a night shift, so I was in bed during the day, and I had this dream that was just so real and so powerful. It just scared the daylights out of me. I was running down a street anywhere. It could have been anywhere. And I remember running past and seeing power lines. And all of a sudden, I am scooped up by this. I said it was the devil because I just didn't know anything else that would look like this. But it was silvery blue, and it was effervescent. It was just, and it kept poking me in the heart, saying, "This hurts, doesn't it? This hurts, doesn't it?" And I remember crying, and all I could do was sing "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," just that line over and over and over again. It got mad. It dropped me from above where the telephone lines are. And I remember looking down, seeing a set of steps and a metal handrail that you would hold to walk down.
Right.
And I remember thinking, my God, I'm going to hit that and die.
So you weren't like floating down. You were really falling.
I was falling. and I saw myself land. I always thought that in dreams they say, you know, if you see yourself hit, you're dead. It'll just scare you right to death.
When you hit, it's all over. That's right.
But I remember looking skyward, and I didn't say anything, but I just remember the feeling of, you know, God help me. And then he stood me up. I woke up. I was sweating all over, and I had to go outside. I don't smoke in the house because I have children, and I had to go outside and have a cigarette and calm down.
You were shaking that much, huh?
Yes, and now I've had this a couple weeks ago, and even now talking about it, it just gives me the weirdest feeling, just like, now, I don't know if demons can come and get you while you're dreaming. I mean, it seems to me that's a pretty cheap way to get a hold of you, but
I think they can. I think demons can do just about anything, and if that means entering your dream state to get you, they probably can.
Well, hey, that's not fair. I would at least like to be awake and conscious, but now my husband told me that demons try to get you when you are closer to God. But since I've taken on this third shift job, I haven't been to church in months. I mean, I believe in God deeply, but I don't feel like I'm at my closest with him. And him poking me in the heart, it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all.
No, you don't want anything like that. I'm getting a lot of fast blasts. Something happened on this atomic clock. There was some kind of signal problem somehow. Very interesting. The only reason I bring it up is I have never seen this fail ever before. So hopefully this will be picked up by the mainstream media sometime today, and people can tell us what happened. If not, we shall pursue it and find out what happened. We'll get our producer staff on it and have the story for you when we come back. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Just send that note. Tomorrow, by the way, we'll have the former governor of Arizona on during the first hour, Fife Symington. We'll talk about the incredible 1997 Phoenix Light story. At that time, he kind of made fun of it. He'll explain why he did that, because he has now admitted that he saw this UFO, whatever it may be. And so our first hour will be devoted to that. Then we'll have another series of full open lines for you on our special Friday night in the Saturday morning program. But we've got about an hour and a half of open lines to go for you tonight, where I simply want your strange demonic stories, pure and simple. So you fire away with that, and I shall be right back in just a moment on Coast to Coast Day. Yeah, this is atomic clock situation. That's weird, because a portion of the country, their atomic clocks seem to be okay. And then other regions of the country, everyone's clocks are going haywire. How bizarre. Well, we'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with demonic open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go back to the phones. We will pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Kathleen.
Hi,
how
Kathleen.
Are you, George?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
It's good to know that you're near anyway. Even if you're in a hole, don't worry about that demon.
That's
you're
right.
Definitely covered.
I'm deep and covered. In,
you
exactly.
That's what I want to know, is how to protect myself. I seen a demon when I was 15. But the last 14 years, my last near-death experience, I've been taken twice. I only have one memory of seeing one going down a disc on the other side of a hill, me and the owner of a lake when I was a lifeguard. And then the demon when someone had gotten a Ouija board for Christmas, and we were sitting around, me and my three best friends, and one of them owned, his father owned the mortuary. And we were asking questions of who murdered our sixth grade teacher.
Oh, my.
And, well, I didn't miss her too much, because she used to beat me with one of those big wooden paddles and the holes in it. But the whole thing is, I didn't feel it was fair for her to be murdered.
No, but, you didn't wish her dead, did
no,
you?
No. All right. But all these things happened in this house when we moved up. When I was about 6 years old, we moved up to a farm, and it was on the Underground Railroad. So I had all these hidden rooms. It was awesome. But it was frightening, too, because I would see things, I would hear things, I would feel things, and everybody would say, oh, you're crazy, or you're just as sensitive. And then I realized that that's kind of in our family, you know, but most people just won't talk about it.
But
the demon that I saw was I was doing a seance, and we were making a lot of money, and we were raking it in, $1 a night. I was 15. we got about 75 people there that night, Friday night. You know, the guys bring their girls, so they get all scared. And, well, this guy was a genius whose father owned the funeral parlor. And he had set up in a small part of the kitchen, the old kitchen, all through the house, the sounds of, you know, the clanging of chains and falling down the stairs and screaming.
Oh, he had the whole place rigged, didn't
he? Yes. And we rehearsed this and we rehearsed it and we rehearsed it. And then I would act like I was being possessed, or I would talk through, that a demon would talk through me. And so we'd all hold hands in a big circle, and there was just this one candle in the center of us. And everything was going so good that I started feeling like I was outside myself looking in at myself. That really frightened me. And then suddenly I seen Mark at the door, and Mark's supposed to be handling the controls. So he tries to get my attention, and then he gets up around me and he says, there's no electric to my board. There's no lights. All this stuff was going on without any lights. My dad had cut the only extension cord with the disc when he was coming through on the tractor. So a few nights later, I'm in bed with this little baby dog that I'd gotten, and it was a little poodle, and it started growling and shivering. And I woke up, and it was a full moon night, and I looked over, and there was the most horrifying creature coming to me and leaned over me, and I knew that it was over. I just knew it was over, and that, you know, I probably deserved it, because I knew I was messing around with something that in the Baptist church, you know, I would definitely go to hell for. Well, I just ran through it and felt this icy chill as I ran through it, turned on the light. Everything I could find in the Bible was gates of Sheol and the clanging of chains, and it just was terrifying. So I just prayed and prayed and prayed until morning, but it seems like this last near-death experience that I had, it's been 14 years now that I've had daily severe migraine that they've discovered is now a rare form of familial hemiplegic migraine.
Oh, my God.
And it's so frighteningly horrendous. The pain is so violent that this is the first day I've been able to talk the last 4 hours. And then it'll be like 3 or 4 more days where I'm just completely, I mean, if the house were to burn down, I couldn't get out. Well, the man that I married over 20 years ago, he was wonderful. Then the day I moved in with him, with my two babies, he was like somebody else. And he's been like that ever since, and now I'm completely isolated. He's made everyone believe that the migraines that I had from, an untreated concussion at the age of 5, when I thought I could fly like Superman, I got the concussion on the left frontal lobe, and my dad didn't think I needed to go to the hospital, and I started having migraines then. And then at 9, when my menses started, 10 days a month, and then when I had the last near-death experience, when I came back, which was a wonderful experience, and I met Mark, my friend that had passed on before me, and while I was there, I started having these nightmares about this girl, Emily, trying to chop my head off with a hatchet. It was a Jewish hospital.
These are nightmares. These aren't dreams.
And I'm running up and down the hallways. You know, I cannot sleep. I had 3 types of pneumonia. I was in intensive care, and I was back down in this really like a presidential room, like they would put somebody like you, you know, somebody big. But because
they put me in the padded room, not the presidential room.
Well, they'd put me in the storage room before I'd gone out to intensive care because I kept saying, the migraine was so bad and I was in so much pain, and the nurse just wouldn't listen to me. And it's because my lungs were full of fluid. The little intern said I was fine. They took my oxygen off.
Well, are they treating you now for this?
No, that's the problem. I fired the a neurologist at Barnes, and that got around. And
why?
I fired her because she forced me to go on Prozac 15 years ago, and I begged her because all they would do is give me anti-seizure, over almost 200 drugs that had nothing to do with migraine, and it destroyed my health. And on top of that, then I had, to deal with this, me firing her because I almost chewed my tongue off, flipped the coffee table over on my husband, and I go to the hospital, and she called ahead and said she's a drug seeker. And I had never, more than once or twice a year, gone in to get any kind of help to
stop. Are you still getting these demonic spirits visiting you?
I'm surrounded by cemeteries now. I'm constantly afraid. The migraines are so severe that I know that it's cardiovascularly related, and I know that I don't have much time.
How old are you?
I just turned 52, and for 47 years now.
You're young.
47 years I've been having these migraines, but they've...
You've had migraines for 47 years?
Yes. Yes, only now they're daily. Always before they were just
nervous. Right now you don't have any problem.
Right now I'm fine, and then I'll be hit like a sledgehammer to the side of my head, and then like an ice pick to that same side in my eye. And the guy that was talking the other night, I had the most violent migraine at the front of my forehead and behind my eyes. The day that the tornadoes came through, and then again when tornadoes came through.
So the weather is affecting your migraines.
Definitely the weather, everything affects it, light, sound, movement. I mean, I called the disability counselor, and I said, what can you do for me? And she would say, well, pray.
Well, no, you got to do more than pray. This is what I recommend you do. You find, and you're in St. Louis, there are some great neurologists. You need... For 47 years, I mean, you might have something damaged there in your head. You need to have that checked. That's crazy. Yeah, that's too much pain for anybody. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you?
I'm in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Sure, yeah.
And my name's Mike, by the way. So
okay, Mike.
The reason I'm calling is ever since I'm 13, I'm 21 now, but I was given a gift to see within two worlds. What I mean by two worlds, I mean by as in the world we see in as people, and then the spiritual realm as well. But I know that you're talking about demons, and I've seen all kinds. It's just a variation of everything.
You call this a gift, though, Mike, or is it something else for you?
It's what I have it for is a gift, but it's haunted me through my everyday life, just about. Accept it until about 2 years ago and understood why I have it.
Is it something you can turn on and off at will, or it's all the time?
It's nothing you can turn on and off. It's when they want you to see them, and more or less you just see them nonstop. I see demons taunting people. I see people who have got demons on their backs, not literally on their backs, but just on them. And, it's like a state of possession almost that they're in. Like one of your callers says, like a state of a zombie,
Yeah. What do these demons look like, Michael?
The best way I can explain this is the worst one I've ever seen, like through my own eyes, is one that, if you ever seen the movie Pumpkinhead, if you can imagine the size of them and just the nastiness of it and the crudeness of it. It's something like that. It's just evil, like demonic, and it just almost tears you apart because it's so evil. And you can't even really put words to it. It's so strange and everything.
Do they know that you can see them?
Yes, they know it, and they take every advantage of it, too.
They taunt you, don't they?
Very much so. And before I called, you know, it's just a thing of protection for me is I had to pray because, I mean, demons, you know, they do carry ears, and they do hear everything we all say, you know. And, you know, a lot of your callers have called in general just trying to figure out how to get rid of these things. And with the last caller you had, the best suggestion I can give is, you know, she's in St. Louis, am I correct?
Yes.
Well, there's a healer, a spiritual healer, and I don't know him by name, but I know that he's out there in St. Louis, and he's really, really, really good. I've seen him do his work, but I've never met him personally. But
I gotta track him down.
It's, you know, he's in St. Louis, and, you know, he's a great guy. He's in one of the bigger churches out there, I can tell you that much.
Mike,
probably the largest church with the largest congregation.
How has this affected your personal life? I mean, you're 21 years old. You see demons, spirits. I mean, do you have a relationship? What do you do in your life? I mean, how does that affect you?
It's caused me to lose tons of sleep. Some of the people I used to consider as friends have literally called me crazy when I explained this gift or this thing that's happened to me. And one of them actually saw me actually kind of battle one out and, you know, saw things that she didn't really agree to see ever again and doesn't want anything to do with me. I've been kicked out of my church because they literally think I'm crazy, but there's very few, which my youth pastor at the time, he understands what I'm going through and knows of this gift that I have that's, you know, and it's just, it really does strain. Like, I can't sleep at night because of the fact I know what's going on outside of my house. I can hear them. I can hear the screeching screams of them. I mean, I've seen them more or less just appear out of nothing.
Do they ever attack you, Mike?
I've been attacked, yes.
They do attack you.
They have attacked me. I haven't been attacked in a very long time, and I hope that doesn't come back and bite me. But, you know, I've been attacked. I've actually, like I said, the girl that doesn't want anything to do with me, I've actually had one pick me up and throw me 15 feet across the yard.
Who did anybody see that, or were you just
by
yourself?
She saw it, and then she saw the hand marks, like where it grabbed me by my throat.
So once that happened, she didn't want anything to do with you?
Yes, because she seriously thought I was part of something evil, and I was trying to explain to her that I'm not, and it's something that I can't help. I have.
Of course, can you blame her? She's with you, and she sees you go flying through the air 15 feet. I can understand how she's a little, you know, uneasy about going out with you.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the tragedy of this. How often does this happen to you?
Like the attacks or seeing these?
The attacks or seeing them?
Seeing them, I see them every day in daylight and at nighttime. At nighttime, they're more or less hard to see. Like at nighttime, if you ever take a light and shine it on an animal in its eyes, that's the only way. Like you don't have to use a light, but that's how you see them at night. And during the daylight, you can just see them full force. And at sunset, that's when they look the worst. I've seen demons manifest that look like they're people to me. And, you know, just the gruelest thing they do is when they reveal themselves to you, it makes me sick in my stomach. I mean, jeez. I've just gotten sick, just, you know, started vomiting profusely just because of what I saw, like, they would seriously, like, grab by where their Adam's apple would be, shove their hand in there, and rip their face, like, the skin of their face.
Just to torture you, I guess, huh?
It's like a tease. It's like saying, do you really want to mess with me kind of thing. And I'm a devoted Christian. I go to a new church now, and from the church that I went since I was a young kid, you know, misled in life. And
does this church accept you?
They accept me, and the pastor, you know, like I said, he understands everything that I'm going through, and his best advice is just you have to fight back with him.
Hey, Mike, how many demons are out there at any given time? I mean, a handful of them or thousands? How many?
More of an honest answer, there's probably tens of thousands out there at the moment.
Tens of everywhere, just constant.
Everywhere. Like, right now, like, if you were sitting where I was sitting outside my house right now, you would hear dead silence. To me, in the distance,
right, I wouldn't see him at all, I don't think.
But you couldn't even hear him. Like, you have to almost be, like, calm in the state of mind. Like, you could almost hear a pin drop.
What do they sound like to you right now?
Huh?
What do they sound like?
Just screeches like nails on a chalkboard and...
Like, constantly?
Not constantly. Like, it's in phases, like... You can tell it's in the distance, and you can hear, like, the growling screams. Like, you can just imagine, like, you know, like this evil metal stuff, like, musically that you hear, and you hear the vocals, like, just like, you know what I'm saying? That's how, like, they almost talk, and that's how a lot of people will hear them, as they'll hear them as that screaming growl.
Do you wish you didn't have this ability?
When I was younger, I wish I didn't, but now I'm glad I do have it, because... with this, I found out what it does for me and how it it's approved within the Christianity and, you know, within my church, and how I use this gift against them.
I was going to say, how can you use this, Mike, to help people?
How I use this is basically, you know, if I see a demon, for instance, like tonight, I saw one, and it was taunting my best friend in the whole world. Like, I love this guy to death. He's been there, and he understands what I've gone through and what it's done to me physically and mentally. And, you know, I told him, I was just like, you got to listen to me. Listen to me close. I need you to take 3 steps to the left and then walk and then stop. And he did the same thing. And then as we go by, this kid on a crotch rocket just comes wailing down the road, and if he wouldn't have moved from the road into the grass, that crotch rocket would have hit him. And it was, you know, it freaked both of us out. Like, we're sitting there, he's just like, how did you know that? I'm just like, if I told you and you really could understand what I hear, you would probably, like, shoot yourself mentally, like, physically.
Yeah, he couldn't handle it. Hey, Mike, I got to take this break. We're at the top of the hour. Great story. I'll be back, another hour to go of Demon Lines on Coast to Coast AM.